Calendar. Joke of the day off John's U-line calendar. This is actually a good one. What do you call a priest that becomes a lawyer? A father-in-law. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You know, I like history. So they had a historical event happen this week. Do you know what that was? This is a major deal. Okay. Huh? No, not that out of court. This is a sports history deal. So I as a kid, I always loved baseball. I did stats. You know, I loved baseball. I watched the stuff go around. I had all the cards. I have all these baseball cards still in this big bin. I thought someday they'd be worth something. And anyhow, there's a guy. His name is Joshua Baez. He's from the Dominican Republic and has lived in the United States for quite a long time since, you know, since he's been like 11. So, and did you, anyone hear this? Yeah, three home runs the first at bat. So this guy is a rookie. His first, so he's been in the he was drafted right out of high school, went through the St. Louis Cardinals system, right? And he had he's supposed to be really strong and fast, and he's just a good all-around athlete. So they drafted him right out of high school. He came into the system, and of course it's minors, and everyone leaves high school thinking they're going to be top dog. And he was drafted fifth and then just kind of went off the charts of, you're not really doing that well. And so they worked with him on the coaches worked with him over the years. And so from the time he was high school, what, 18, 19 to now he's 23. So this past week, he made his, debut for Major League Baseball. His first at bat, very first at bat in major leagues. Poof, home run right out of the ballpark. Okay. Which is only 130 guys have done that in the history of Major League Baseball. The first pitch. Second time he gets up, poof, right out of the ballpark. And everyone's screaming. I was watching this thing. And, third time he gets up, poof, right out of the park. It's the first time any rookie, his first three at bats has hit a home run. So it's a pretty big deal for Major League Baseball. So I thought that was a pretty interesting statistic, which then led me to, baseball jokes. Which baseball player always makes the pancakes? The batter. Oh, okay. And I know there's some baseball fans in here. Why did the sausage quit playing baseball? It was the worst on the team. Okay. And then which baseball player holds the water for the whole team? The pitcher. All right. Okay. Good, good, good. The pitcher. So we had the batter and the pitcher. All right. As we keep moving along in Hebrews, Hebrews 11, we're still within Hebrews 11, and we're going to be actually concentrating on this section of verses the next couple weeks, because as we get into Hebrews 11:32, it kind of breaks down a bunch of faith heroes from the Old Testament. So I wanted to look at each one of those. So when we had the outside service, we looked at Gideon. I just kept on going with, you know, I've been loving the stories of all this, the faith on these faith giants, which when you look at them as just people, they're just like us. So Hebrews, let's just go to the Lord in prayer first. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, speak to us out of your word. As we open your word, help us to get a little bit of this faith that that these men and women of Scripture had. Help us to understand your word better. Help us to apply it into our life better. In your name we pray. Amen. Hebrews 11:32 down through 38 we'll read. And we'll be reading this quite a bit the next couple of weeks. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, which we talked about last week, Barak, who we'll talk about this week, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. And these guys, verse 33, it doesn't say these guys, but I just added that. Verse 33, who through faith, remember faith? What is faith? Now faith is being, Hebrews 11:1, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain, 100% certain of what we don't see. That's faith. Who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put into prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. That's our Christian past. That's the people who follow God, right? Persecuted, sawed in two, these people of faith that rose up, that we have these great stories of faith, that walked out in faith, and this stuff still happened to them, didn't it? This stuff still happened to these great people of faith. And sometimes we as Christians, especially in the United States, we think, how can that stuff happen? We're following God. Everything's supposed to be perfect. Everything's supposed to work out exactly how it's supposed to be. Because I'm following God. I love Jesus, right? That's a lot of people think that. And when it doesn't happen that way, they walk away from God. They throw the faith down and they say, no more. Barak. Who knows the story of Barak? We don't hear about it a lot. When you think of Barak, what do you think of? Barack Obama. Like that's who you think of, right? That was, so you think of this man now. Going back into Judges, a man named Barak, found in Judges chapter 4. We're going to read Judges chapter 4. Starting in verse 4. Now we'll start in verse 3. It's talking about Israelites. And it's talking about, okay, we're going to start verse 2. So the Lord sold them, the Israelites, into the hands of Jabin, the king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosh Haggitham, because he had 900 chariots and had cruelly oppressed the Israelites for 20 years. The Israelites, they cried out to the Lord for help. Deborah, not Barak yet, Deborah, a prophetess, or a prophet, the wife of Lebedoth, was leading Israel at that time. She held court under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the Israelites came to her to have their disputes decided. That's where the Israelites would go up, to this palm tree, the palm of Deborah, to this prophetess, because Israel now, for 20 years, they once again walked away from God, which you see in Judges, all through Judges, walked away from God, and there was no one there, and then Deborah was the scripture said she was the one leading Israel. So the Israelites would go up to Deborah under this palm to settle disputes. Verse 6, she sent for Barak, son of Abinoam, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, the Lord, this is what she told to Barak, the Lord, the God of Israel, commands you, go take with you 10,000 men of Naphtali and Zebulun, and lead the way to Mount Tabor. I will lure Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army with the chariots and his troops, to the Kishon River and give him into your hands. So that's what Deborah told this man Barak. We don't know much about Barak. We just know now in Judges, they were being persecuted again because of their disobedience to follow Christ, to follow God. And they were being persecuted and they're crying out to God. And Deborah then gets, as the prophetess, gets this word from the Lord, calls out to Barak, and Barak comes to meet her at the, under the palm of Deborah. And she gives him this message. Barak said to her in verse 8, if you go with me, I will go. But if you don't go with me, I won't go. Ah, that's where it leads us into today's message title, which I don't have up there. Is sometimes faith needs a friend, doesn't it? Sometimes people need to be trained up. Sometimes people need to see and understand and walk into a faith, and they need someone there beside them. And that's kind of what we see right here, where Deborah, the prophetess, speaks this word to Barak. And we don't know, was Barak a mighty warrior? Was Barak saying, I'm not going to go gather these people because they won't listen to me? Was he saying, they're only going to listen to you? And you think about it. You think when we talked about this whole thing, the now faith, right? When I talk about now faith, put yourself in this guy's shoes. So for 20 years, they've been being cruelly oppressed by this captain of this army, Sisera. Abused, killed, murdered. And you get into the next chapter and it talks about when these people would attack, they would take the wives of, basically rape and pillage the Israelites and take their women and their children, and all this stuff was going on. Not like we had, that's what was going on at the time. If you put yourself there. So this lady, this prophetess, comes out and tells Barak this, and I'm sure, it doesn't say if he had a family, it doesn't say if he, if he was a landowner, it doesn't say anything. It's just, this is what God commands you to do. And he stepped back and said, go get this army of 10,000 warriors from these tribes, your tribes in Israel, and we're going to go defeat this king and this army. And he was like, what do I do? So he said, so in faith, he said, I'll go if you go. If you don't go, I'm not going. And part of that is you think about, they look to this lady, this prophetess, because she spoke a word from the Lord, right? So they looked at her, and it's very similar to Samuel and some of the stuff that we see in the piece that we'll look at. But they looked at this woman as the speaker of what God said. So they held her up because God spoke to her, which that's what scripture says. She was the prophetess, and she gave God's word to Barak, and he was not going to go anywhere. He had faith. Number one, he had faith to go to her. So she called to him. He went to her. Once he goes to her and she gives him this instruction, he's like, I'm not going without you. So he still had the faith that God could do it, but he needed the help. He needed somebody that was willing to step into faith with him. And Deborah had the faith, right? I mean, she had God's word spoken to her, and she was leading Israel and judging them at this time. She was right on track. she needed to come alongside Barak and give him and show him how to do it. Verse 9, very well, Deborah said, I will go with you, but because of the way you are going about this, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will hand Sisera over to a woman. So Deborah went with Barak to Kadesh, where he summoned Zebulun and Naphtali, 10,000 men followed him, and Deborah also went with him. Now, Heber the Kenite had led the other Kenite, the descendants of Hobab, Moses' brother-in-law, and pitched his tent by the great tree in Zanamar near Kadesh. When they told Sisera that Barak, son of Abinom, had gone up to Mount Tabor, Sisera gathered together his 900 iron chariots. So they had a powerful army, just 900 chariots, iron chariots, and then not including all the men, and all the men with him. Verse 14, then Deborah said to Barak, go, this is the day the Lord has given Sisera into your hands. Has not the Lord gone ahead of you? And once again, she's giving him encouragement. She's encouraging Barak that God is in front of him, showing him how to walk into a faith. So Barak went down Mount Tabor, followed by 10,000 men, and Barak advanced the Lord routed Sisera and all his chariots and the army by the sword, and Sisera abandoned his chariot and fled on foot. But Barak pursued the chariots and the army as far as Hesroth, I'll stop it at that. All the troops of Sisera fell, died, killed by the sword. Not a man was left. Not one man was left out of all those men. Sisera, however, fled on to the foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, because there were friendly relations between Jabin the king of Hazor and the clan of Heber the Kenite. Jael went out to meet Sisera and said to him, come, my lord, come right in. Come into my tent, she said. Don't be afraid. So he entered her tent and she put a covering over him to hide him. I'm thirsty, he said. Please give me some water. She opened a skin of milk, gave him a drink, and covered him up. Standing in the doorway of the tent, he told her, if someone comes by and asks you if anyone is here, say no. But Jael, Heber's wife, picked up a tent peg and hammer and went quietly to him while they lay fast asleep, exhausted. She drove the tent peg through his temple into the ground, and he died. Barak came by in pursuit of Sisera, and Jael went out to meet him. Come, she said, I will show you the man you are looking for. So he went in with her, and there lay Sisera with a tent peg through his temple, dead. On that day, God subdued Jabin, the Canaanite king, before the Israelites, and the hand of the Israelites grew stronger and stronger against Jabin, the Canaanite king, until they destroyed him. And the word of the prophetess once again came true in both of those things, that the Barak's hand, even though he was going out to lead this army, that he wouldn't have the victory of killing Sisera. It was going to be given to the hands of a woman, which is Jael, who drove that stake through his head. So when we get into Hebrews 11, you know, you read Hebrews 11 and it talks about Barak, of this great man of faith. And when I read it, I'm like, Deborah was leading him the whole way. She was like pulling that. She was like the rock, you know, rock climber, pulling the guy up. Like, but and Jael, another woman who was full of faith, knowing, like, that, and their two families had this relationship, like the two tribes that she was supposed to, under Middle Eastern tradition, that if someone enters your home, you're supposed to protect them. She didn't protect them. What did she do? She takes up a stake and nails the guy through the temple and nails him to the ground. And so if you think about what is taking place here, Barak is the one that's pulled out for faith. So there must have been these other things. And as you get into chapter 5 and the next 40 years that went on, which we don't have the story, there must have been some other details that Barak then became a very faithful leader during this time. But we have this time that he was, like, he's called out for his faith in Hebrews 11. But he needed to be trained in that faith. He needed to see it. He needed to understand it. He didn't understand. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, because the only way he was going is if Deborah went. That's the only way he said he was going to go. He had to be trained. He had to be taught. It's kind of like going back to the baseball player. Joshua Baez. At 11 years old, Joshua Baez was in, you know, Little League or whatever. His coach was coaching him, who still talks to him, they say, daily. He was coaching him since 11. And he said there was something in this guy, Joshua Baez, that he was such a talented, he said he never coached somebody like him. And there was so much talent there. And his kid was dedicated. And so at 11 years old, this coach started to coach him. And you read an article, there's an article that was out last year when he was still in the minors. Now he made history, right? Three home runs, the first three at Major League bat unheard of ever made in baseball history. But last year, you read about him, and he was a nobody. But then you read this article about the coach. You read this article about this young man, Joshua Baez, who said, I know I'm going to do this. His statement was, I forget what his exact statement was. I know what I can do. Like, he was not rising fast whatsoever in minor league baseball. But he said, I know what I can do. He could see it. He could see where he was going. Now, faith is being, now converting this to baseball, right? Now, faith is being sure of what he was hoping for. It. He could see it. I know what I can do. Barak, in this story, he knew what he could do after he had the training, this faith training, this faith that was instilled into his life on how to follow God. And think about it. If you remember the Israelites, and man, you think about it, and I often wonder, but we're all the same way. I often wonder, the Israelite people, they had Moses walking in the wilderness. They had the cloud of fire. They had manna falling from the sky. God was taking care of them. And they follow God, and then they fall away. They follow God, they fall away. It doesn't sound familiar. Right? It sounds familiar. Old Testament, but does it sound familiar just today? Today. A generation would go. Think about it. And scripture talks about training up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he'll come back. He won't turn, right? He'll come back. And we hold to that in scripture. A generation will go. Think about our families. A generation is in the church. A generation, there's maybe your grandfather, your father got saved, and then you start coming to church, or you get saved through, you know, a Billy Graham crusade, or you get saved through watching a guy on TV or however, and you get saved and you put that what your salvation is, and you start to instill that faith into your family and your kids. And all of a sudden, some time later, the kids walk away. Right? We're no different than these people, the Israelites. Our families aren't any different than the Israelites. We walk towards God and we fall away. We walk towards God and we fall away. And then we need this faith to be trained and instilled constantly into our life. Or I know all of us, because we could all very easily do the same thing, couldn't we? We really could. When we start thinking about how bad things are, or when things aren't working out exactly what we want them to work out towards. I know for me, like I was thinking about it yesterday, because many of you know me, and you know I'm not perfect, right? And I was trying to think of how to describe it sometimes. I feel like sometimes I'm, and Paul talked about this about himself. You know, my sinful nature wants to, there's this battle going on inside. Sometimes I feel like there's a monster inside of me and you get so angry and you just want to like explode. But then the Christian side, I'm like, I can't explode on this person. I have to show them God's love when I want to rip their head off. I have to show them like the love of Christ. That's the last thing you want to do. But that's what we're called to do. And I feel like I have this constant battle going on inside of this rage, and I got to show love, a rage and love, right? And I think that's what was going on with Israel. That was going on with Barak. So Barak evidently, and he was listed in the faith chapter, a hero of the faith who was trained by Deborah, this prophetess who trained him, and he walked forward into faith. How's that look for us? Proverbs 27:17. You all know this story or this verse. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Deborah, a human, right? Not saying man. Human, a person, was sharpening this guy, was training this guy to step up in faith. Once he understood it, once he saw it, once he comprehended the power of God by watching and learning from the prophetess Deborah and everything she said happened, guess what? Barak's faith went from, I'm only going to do it if you go with me. I'm sure his faith life changed. I would hope, I would assume. I'm just reading into that. Scripture doesn't say much more about it. But he's listed in the faith chapter of a great man, hero of the faith. Iron sharpens iron. Are we teaching those around us, our family, our kids, our grandkids? Are people seeing faith in our life, or do they see us worried all the time? I know, like my kids see all sorts of stuff coming out of me: worry, anger, faith, talking about Jesus, complaining about stuff. I mean, I'm just—we're all the same way, right? And it's just we're walking through life, but we need to continue to teach, especially our young kids, our families. And even when you think they don't get it and they're walking away from the Lord, we need to continue to pray and walk and teach that faith, because sometimes, just like here, faith needed some help. Faith needed a friend to walk along them with them till they saw the faith, till they could understand it, till they could see the power of God, right? And I think many times we're there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for the story. I wish I had so much more information on Barak and what happened there. And I thank you for this story and how it unfolds and this stuff that we see with your people, the Israelites. Lord, I thank you that through the line of the Israelites that I have salvation, and I thank you that you died for me, Lord. Lord, I pray Help us, Father, as we walk our journeys of faith. Help us as we have those around us maybe that we need to start walking in a way to show them a type of faith because they don't understand it. If it's through your salvation, or if it's through stepping out into something into faith, that we will be the example of Hebrews 11:1. Your word tells us now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And that is your word to us. That is your word that we're supposed to hide into our heart. That is your word that we're supposed to live out daily. Help us to do that daily, that we will walk that way, and that our family and our friends and people around us, even when it's hard and even when we talk about people getting cut in two and living in caves, that they were still so faithful that they would not turn from you. Give us that same faith, that same passion, that same love for you and your word, that we can be very similar to that, Lord. We pray for that. In your name we pray. Amen. As we go, turn to the person next to you. We're praying for 50 to, we're not filled here yet, right? We're praying for 50 to 100 new people, new families coming into this church, and we're praying for 50 to 100, I actually had it more, but we're going to go 50 to 100 non-believing people that if they're searching, they will find us, right? That we are here for them. So take 2 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it is, pray, and then we're all dismissed.